Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, and welcome to a late BNC. I'm Carl. Pod Dodger. I'm joined by Hillbilly J, aka Marvin the Depressed Robot. Hi Jay, how you doing, man?
Don't ask.
Really?
Just don't ask, Cal. Just don't ask.
All right. Okay. So that's going to make this a very short podcast. we've got a few people waiting there in the old comments already. So.
Yeah, lying into us already. That's what I like to say.
Yeah, get it going. Why the bloody hell not? Like, and I'm looking for, where are we going? Right here. Back in a minute.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Ought to Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
You look like fucking Brolin, you're a Leeds hating bastard.
Or some sort of fucking weird floating head. No.
You tentel play it a bit, innit?
I mean, I feel a bit right, dickhead.
Nothing spectacular, really.
Jay, we need to edit that bleeding ending there.
You need to take it up with Gilly, mate.
Oh, God. Nothing spectacular.
Just call it as it is.
No, that's, yeah, like, it's becoming a running theme now at the moment that that particular line at the end is the talking point for every Mark and Variety and Coke, it seems, at the moment.
If we had to pick, you know, we do, like, an episode name for the pod. If we had to pick one for the season, that would be it. It just would be nothing spectacular, really.
Yeah, like, the overall pod, nothing spectacular.
Just everything Leeds related.
Yeah, it's going down the toilet fairly quickly now, to be honest with you, but sure. We'll get into it a little bit.
Just can't wait for my 10% voucher.
I know, yeah, that's the thing. I don't want a voucher. I'd much prefer the cash, if you don't mind, thank you.
You'll never see that again.
Yeah.
I saw something today about a guy. There was a guy who'd got the credit, you know, when you sell your ticket back to the club. Yeah. And you can only put it towards membership or next season ticket, and he's not a member anymore, this guy, or anything, so his money's just gone, basically.
Oh, man. That's
and that sums up this fucking ownership.
It does indeed, it does indeed. But look, Jay, you went down to the game yesterday, man. Nice drive down?
Oh, it was lovely. Lovely drive down. I were all positive, you know, sun was shining. I was thinking West Ham off the back of a European semi-final, all G'd up at final. Nobody's going to want to get injured. You know, they won't be that bothered. They don't care.
Yeah.
There were only one team on that pitch that looked like they weren't bothered and didn't care, and it wasn't West Ham.
Yeah. The crowd, the Leeds fans seemed to do all right, though. They were very loud on the TV. I know I was, if you're watching on the telly and all that, like, but yeah, it was a bit wild in there.
Someone keeled over near us. I don't know what happened with that. I hope they're okay. But The West Ham stewards were useless, man. People were like yelling at these guys, and they were like a row away from us over this divide, and we're yelling at them saying, "Get over here, something's happened," you know. And they just thought we were a bunch of knobheads taking piss, so they ignored us for the majority. I kept my head down, to be fair, but some of the stewards were knobs. You know what it's like when you go to away games. A lot of people end up in the stairs and stuff. And this kid says to me, "Oh, you're the first fans that we've not been able to stop standing on the stairs." I was just like, "All right, well, you know, get used to it when we're in town."
Yeah, but, exactly. Yeah,
people were leaving a walkway clear and stuff, just enough, you know, for people to get by. But they were still moaning. And then they tried to check your ticket before you went back up to the stand after half time. And I just says to this steward, "Oh, I've binned mine, mate. You know, it were in my back pocket, but I were in a different stand because I was stood with Luke and that rather than where I was supposed to be." But that's what I love about Leeds fans. There was a guy stood next to me when this steward said this, and I said to him, "Oh, I've binned my ticket, mate. I didn't need it once I got in. Didn't think it was going to get checked again." And this lad just piped up and went, "Yeah, I saw him up there. He was stood near me." I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so top marks to that guy.
You're
a top man.
So, right. So the fans are great. Good crack in the stands for majority. Sam and nuns all over the place.
I was still behind some of them, actually.
Yeah. For 25 minutes of that game, man, we were looking okay.
For 25 minutes of that game, we looked like we'd turned up to do what needed to be done. We looked like we were up for it. Even Bamford looked up for it, to be fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did.
Who could have blamed him if he'd said fuck this, you know?
Yeah, no, he was from obviously watching on the telly. It was quite a good 25 minutes, but it was more acceptable than it was good.
Yeah.
We have that sinking feeling now where we're sitting there and we're like, right, we've gone 1-0 up, and then they get an equaliser. And then they put up the stats that we've lost the most points from winning positions, 24 games or something like that.
God.
So we have to look at things like that moving forward. But like, where do you think we fell down yesterday, Jay? I know the second goal. It was their first goal actually was quite a good move. We were very much caught on the hop, and the flick from. I don't know who the douchebag is, like, but there was a flick into Bowen, and it's always going to be Jared Bowen, isn't it?
Or gutted when I saw his name on the team sheet.
Yeah. I thought Rice hit it, you know, connected well with it, but I don't think he meant to connect the way, or for the ball to skew the way he did, really. But look, sure, it is what it is. And what do you think happened after that, man? Like, because we were very much in the game, like, very much in the game.
Yeah. I just don't know. I mean, even at 1-1, we were still in the game.
Yeah.
I wasn't massively worried at 1-1. I thought it'll be okay. We'll get back into this. We're not rolling over. We're doing some good stuff. Yeah, we were letting them get in a bit too much and get chances more than I would have liked. But that's us, isn't it? You expect that. That's always going to happen. So you just have to grit your teeth and hope we're going to weather the storm. As far as stuff like that goes, but you know, there were no reason at that point to think we can't still win this game. And a lot of the time this season, when we have conceded a goal, you've got the feeling, oh, it's over. This is finished now.
Yeah. Did like I know it's he's only been here 3 games or whatever, Sam. But do you feel like we lost, but. Do you feel like, given more time, he might have got us out of it?
Maybe.
Going off what he's done with the starting 11 so far. I know it's not mad impressive, but no one expected anything from City and no one expected anything from Newcastle, really.
No, that's true. But,
you know,
we've just thrown away too much. I'm not sure if any manager could have done it, to be honest with you. I mean, what can a manager do about the misses that Bamford's done? What can a manager do about individual errors when people are just too stupid to clear a ball or pass it to the right person?
Yeah.
There's only so much they can do. And I don't know if anyone could have saved this team. I think it's just fucked completely, for want of a better word. There's something not right. And, you know, there are individuals who look like they care and they're trying, but if you've got a bunch of guys around you that just aren't that bothered, people like Weston McKennie, you know, then what's the point? Well, you're not going to get far, are you? You can't pull a team through a season with like three or four players who care.
Yeah, I get that, man. I was listening to a radio station today, just driving around aimlessly because, you know, why not? And they were saying that there's a pattern with teams that Bielsa manages that they always seem to go into some form of free fall after he's left. Because of how intense everything was and the standard to which he expected everything done. And when that discipline goes, you could see it in the players. Like Jesse came in and he said, oh, they're training too hard and this and that.
Yeah.
Our biggest letdown since Bielsa left is that we're not fit enough.
Yeah, 100%.
We're so far off the pace that that's probably an element of this is a repercussion of having Bielsa.
There's been many times, many times this season when they've looked completely knackered by about 60 minutes.
Yeah, and I think it happened on Sunday, but at 1-1, you're still in the game. Even at 2-1, we're still in the game.
Yeah.
But we started puffing about 68 minutes. Mm-hmm. It nearly coincided with their second goal going in. When we just deflated altogether. Like, I don't know whether it was just confidence or fitness. You've got a comment there.
Who knows? Yeah, Mark Wright is just saying, what do you think of Bill's comments saying they ran out of steam? Who's that on?
Sorry, Jason.
That's got to be on managers and the players for me.
Yeah. I think a lot of it, I would put, like, not just because he seems to be the fall guy now or anything, but the way Marsh, you know, did his training sessions, I don't think we were, I think that's when our fitness started to die, regardless of the pressing, because he'd always have to make quick substitutes to keep that, what did he want, 100 to 70? But there was never any steam in us. Like, Mark Rocco was finished by half time every game, and he was playing CDM half the time, you know? So that I think fitness has a lot to do with that now as well, because
there's just something really wrong. Like, everything has been done wrong by every step. Maybe Allardyce would have done more with them if he had more time. Maybe he wouldn't. We just don't know.
Yeah.
And for me, the team that he picked was odd. And that left me thinking, would he have saved us? Because striker shite.
Yeah, but we had to bring someone in place of Firpo. Like, who else would you? What would you have done other than that? Like,
I don't know. It were either going to be put Rasmus there and change your centre back pairing, or put Verba there and change your centre back pairing. And I do get it. Keeping a consistent two at the back in the middle is probably more important than who you're playing at fullback, because those guys need to be the guys that are on the same page all the time with a better understanding. But to see sort of Nonto and Somerville both on the bench, that was strange. I thought at least one of those would play.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really play Rodrigo on the wing. It's not his place. And a lot of his good work is then done out wide rather than in front of the goal.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, when you're coming from the wing, you're playing the ball to someone else. You're doing the hard work and giving it away then. You're not bringing it inside to shoot. And I want Rodrigo taking shots at goal, as he showed with the goal.
Well, like, the thing was, like, there was a couple of times where he did go, end up taking the ball out wide, where he did cut in. And there was a couple of opportunities where he could definitely have had a shot, and it was on his left foot as well. And I'll be honest, I wouldn't have had a go at him for shooting at all, because you don't know what'll happen.
No, exactly.
If you don't shoot, you don't score. It's basic football. Like, so there's times where out wide, he's sometimes utilised a little better, because when he plays down the centre, which we saw in the second half because Bamford went off, we're far too direct. And we don't, even though in the first half we kind of looked at it and we tried kind of building the play a little bit through Forshaw and then trying to hit the wings.
Yeah.
When we got the ball in the second half, it was very much get it down and try and get it forward to Rodrigo or behind the last man as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And that's a totally different style of play to what we were playing prior to Bamford going off. And I think
it is, yeah.
Having Rodrigo out wide in certain times of the game is far better. I personally have loved to have seen Rodrigo go out wide and put Willie in there in the centre, because I think Willie would drop a little deeper and that'd open up the space in behind for Rodrigo to come in off the left and Jack to come in off the right, you know?
Yeah.
And Willie could then act as a 10 and Harrison and Rodrigo could play as a false kind of strike pair, you know?
Yeah. Because
if we're playing the over with the wing backs as well, then you've got the options out wide for Willie to then play the ball around or come back to Cock or Firpo or to Forshaw.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think playing the players in the positions that maybe they're not preferring is probably the best way to go sometimes, you know?
Oh, yeah. I think sometimes you have to, don't you? You've got to put the good of the team ahead of players' preferences for positions, but you still need to put people in positions where they can perform. So, you know, I felt sorry for Bamford, but he were clearly trying too hard. That fucking volley he did that just went off into space.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
Aronson had a bit of an old air swipe at one as well, and so did Nanto, to be fair. Like,
yeah. Willie played pretty badly by his standards, to be honest.
Yeah, I heard someone mention that maybe Willie has been found out. I don't think it's Willie has been found out. I think the team around him as well, as like it's the same for other players as well. It's just not up to it at the moment. And when a team around you isn't up to it, it's hard to get yourself into it as well, you know?
Yeah, the team around him is playing shite and he's struggling to get game time.
He's 19, like.
His head's not going to be perfect, is it? He's going to be a bit pissed off and frustrated, and you know, he's like you say, he's 19. He's not going to be composed and model professional thinking, oh, I'm just going to wait for my chance and help the team. There's going to be youthful enthusiasm in there, arrogance, and all the rest that comes with being a really talented player. He wants to play games, he wants to be on the pitch. He's going to be pissed off. His head's not going to be completely right. I don't think you can say he's been found out because he had a shit game when everybody else had a shit game. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
crazy talk.
Yeah, yeah. Just on Forshaw, he lasted his 60-odd minutes or something, you know. From what I was able to watch, like what I watched, he didn't look like he did a bad job. His passing ability isn't something that we've previously witnessed, but he was very much getting on it and spreading it wide at opportunities. Do you think maybe if we go down, because I'm still not convinced we're not mathematically down yet.
Look,
it was the same last season as well, wasn't it? We had to win on the day and hope that there was only a bleeding loss to Burnley to keep us up. It's exactly the same scenario.
You're the last one, and I don't just mean on the pod, I mean you're the last Leeds fan that still thinks there's a chance.
All right, that's fine. Like that's absolutely fine. Until we're mathematically down, I'll always kind of think, well, fuck it, why don't we have a chance? We have a chance just like everyone else. Fuck it.
Well, there is that, but then you've got to look at the fact that Bournemouth have not won a game since they beat us. That's just fucking typical, isn't it?
Yeah, but who's to say they're not going to turn it on that day? Like, Calvert-Lewin's not going to be on. Yeah.
Goodison will be rocking. They're not going to lose that game. But then, you know, how many times have we looked at other games and said, Forest aren't going to beat Arsenal?
Oh, I didn't say that. I said, I hope Arsenal don't turn into a Spurs on Saturday.
No, but over the course of the season, people have said that. You know, Everton, when they beat bloody Arsenal, everyone said that wasn't going to happen. And you do get...
Not yet, Skip.
You do get crazy results. So, do you know what? Who knows? But I can't see it. The probability is so low that I can't allow myself to believe it. And I'm a person who finds it really, really difficult to accept that we're not going to be a Premier League team anymore. I can't bend my mind around how we've gone from where we were to where we are. And I can't comprehend it.
Yeah, I get you. But look, Luca's come in with an old comment there. I can't wait for next week's staying up pod. Yeah, I might do it from steaming from the back of the peacock, eh?
Hey, if that happens, it'll be some fucking pod, I'll tell you that much, for nothing.
Yeah, I'm here for it, man.
I will guarantee that will be something else.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
I'm just going to grab a few comments before we move on there, past them, Gal.
Yeah, man.
Skip says, majority of that team are big bucket of shit. I agree with that. Yeah. I'm going to talk about that in a bit.
Yeah.
Andy Aylor says, how is it we look like the team on the beach? No fight at all, second half. Accurate.
I thought Everton were worse than us and against Wolves. I thought, the only reason they got that goal was because the ref fucking played so long.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have got that goal otherwise.
We weren't getting that long, didn't we?
Yeah.
Skip says, crazy that we brought in a left back and right back and they're both playing centre back. Recruitment at its best.
That's a good one. I like that one.
That's what we call the Otter effect.
Yeah.
Let's have a look. Luke Thompson says, 11 wins since Bielsa is unreal.
Jesus Christ.
Not wrong there, mate.
To start, I wouldn't like that.
Alison's on the case again. She's got a magnifying glass out and a deer hunter.
Oh, yes.
The 49ers arrived in Leeds last week. What's this space? They're probably going to tell Rads to fuck off.
And that's probably why he's in Italy, isn't it? They're here going through the books.
He's done a run out of Italy so that they can't talk to him.
Yeah.
Andy Aylor says, that was our whole season summed up in one game. Score early, miss chances, sit back, can't defend, get battered. Yeah, it is basically rinse and repeat. He's not wrong there. Yeah. Luke again, he says the board are fully to blame. Having no plan after Bielsa is unforgivable. Scrapping all the good work and doing on the cheap. Bielsa showed them how to do it. They had the blueprint and blew it. Not wrong there, is that. It? Liam B says Orta left this club in such a poor position. His last year's business buying was terrible, except for a few players. Should have gone at the same time as Jesse. Totally agree with that. Absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, I'm always of the opinion that Jesse should never have been given the job after he kept us up.
100%.
So
we saw what was going to happen. We all tried to convince ourselves that the tactics were just survival tactics and that it would all be better. It never changed, Smarty, did it?
Me and Smarty were sitting there going, no, gone by Christmas.
No, I mean those of us that thought, give it a chance and, you know, we'll see what happens. I wanted to believe the stuff he said, but he talked better than he walked.
You know, that's what a good salesman does, isn't it?
Oh yeah, he won't be selling me any double glazing anytime soon.
So look, just back to the match, man. From back to front, Robles, how do you think he played?
I thought he was all right, to be fair.
Yeah,
he made some really good saves. He still looks more solid than Melier could even dream of being. And for me, he's going to be our number one next season regardless, because he's looked solid. He hasn't made any crazy mistakes. He's not done anything mental. And he's not been beaten by every shot that's been fired at him. So he's automatically number one for me now.
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah. And then just going into the back line, like, do you think going forward, regardless of whatever division we're in, do you think that we build a defence around Werber at centre-back?
Well, do you know what? I'm going to bring up the thing that I loaded into the brand because this kind of touches on it. If we're going to discuss it, we might as well just
together. All right, okay. I was just kind of going through the game.
Yeah, don't worry about that, Carl. We're going rogue here. So, so that was the starting lineup that we had against Leicester. Now, I've made some notes on this.
Oh, fuck. Right, so that's... What's the crack with the orange tick now? Did you run out of fucking green or something?
Right,
did you?
So the red ones can all fuck off.
Okay. Right.
I went easy on Luke Ayling. I only gave him one cross and not two, but...
Oh, yeah, that angry one there for Weston McKennie. Look at the length of that one there. That's
really
an angry X, that.
Yeah, he can fuck off. I liked his new version of his song though that we were singing yesterday. Ain't nobody like McKennie, fat and lazy, loves the takeaway. But what I've done here, all the ones in red, they can fuck off. We don't need them. We're not going to benefit from keeping them. The ones in green, obviously, I want to keep them at the club and move forward with them. The ones in orange are people that I've decided keep them as squad players, but I don't want them as first choice players, basically.
Jeez, you're getting a bit of traction there in the old comments. As if you're going Rodrigo, f off.
It's no. Do you know what?
Sasha, I'm not lumping it in. Harrison and Rasmus as well. No.
Yeah, no. I'm not lumping Rodrigo in the same way as I'm saying fuck off to Weston McKennie. Rodrigo for me has been decent, and he's shown a lot of fight. And you know, I'm a fan of Rodrigo. I've crossed him out because of his age, and I don't see him wanting to play in championships. I don't see him being in that team next season. Mm. That's basically it for him. I'm not actually hating on Rodrigo. I like him a lot.
Well, you've got two comments there saying that you're wrong. So you've got Mark right there saying it. And then you've got Emma Holmes, Rodders, are you mad? He's the only one that looks like he cares for me.
I should have clarified that part. I wasn't telling Rodrigo.
Yeah, look, see, here, look, another one there. Rodrigo's old. We'll want one final big payday. There he goes.
But yeah, I think he'll move on because he's knocking on a bit. And, you know, as you've told us, Carl, anyone over 29 is past it. So,
sell by date, man.
Well, that's it. I pulled up the bench as well.
Right.
And I gave them the same treatment. Melier can go because he's been talking about wanting to leave if you read the stuff in the press. So I don't care about that.
Yeah.
Cooper, keep him as a squad player again. Good motivator, good captain. Not someone I want to see first choice. Jeremiah, something that I'm not going to pronounce. Don't know anything about him, so I can't boot him. Aronson, if he wants to stay and be a squad player, try and toughen up a bit, he can stay. Mike Rocker can fuck off. Somerville, he stays. Ruta's got to stay because we spent a fuck ton on him. Nonto, got to stay if we can keep him. Greenwood, just not developed enough for me and turned into anything.
Right, that's one thing now that I wanted to have a chat about, actually, regarding the game.
Okay.
Greenwood, bought as a striker, right?
Yeah.
And developed under bleeding, was it Marsh that started playing him in midfield?
Did he play a few games for Marcelo?
Regardless, anyway, play him as a striker. We bought him as a striker.
Well, yeah, Arsenal. If you're going to do that, then yeah.
Joe Gelhard got multiple opportunities up front last season. Why doesn't Greenwood get the same kind of level of chance up front? We don't know. Like there's videos of him playing for the under-21s. Granted, we know that the under-21s isn't real football and they need to bring back B-team football because, you know,
yeah,
turn them into men. Why he's banged in all amounts of goals playing up front for the under-21s. Why not give him a shot up front?
He was red hot when he was playing for every week before.
Yeah.
When it was it was him, and who was the one he was playing up front with, the other one? Who was his partner?
It wasn't
Edmondson back then, was it?
No, it was Gellert, wasn't it?
Was it Gellert?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Greenwood was always scoring. He's got like 22 goals or something in his
He got some ridiculous amount of
season
goals
playing up front. He did great. And then since then, some people have tried to force him to be a midfielder. And fair play to him. He seems to just get on with it. But that's not what he's supposed to be. I don't get why people keep trying to make him into it.
This is what I mean. Like those kind of decisions where you're looking at the likes of Rod, who's running around injured. And it's not because he's old, all right? He's just a little injured.
Mm.
And you've got Greenwood on the bench there and you're bringing him on in midfield. And it's like, hold on a second now. Why not take Rodders off? Put Greenwood up front let's be honest, it's his natural position.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't mind getting on the ball, turning quick, looking at players in the eye and taking them on. That's exactly what we're kind of missing with a bit of composure. Like, I'm not saying that he would have the composure, but if you play a player in his natural position, he might have that in his locker, you know. So I'm just I'd like to see on Sunday Greenwood get a chance up front if Bamford and Rod aren't available now.
Don't know
how bad Bamford's injury is because he was needing a scan.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And
yeah, I don't see that happening though, Carl. It's, at this point in time, it's not going to happen, is it?
But the thing is, if everyone thinks we're down already, like, we may as well give it a go. If everyone's that confident that we're down, why not give it a go? It's not the kind of thing you'd do if you thought you had a chance. So, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently now I'm ageist. Thanks, Skip.
I'm getting pelters now because of that Rodrigo thing. I genuinely wasn't saying Rodrigo can F off because he don't care. I was just, it's just one of the players I see moving on for whatever reason.
I think he'd stay for another season.
I would love it if he didn't. I just don't see it. I just don't see it.
Yeah.
Just don't see it. Emma's giving me some pelters as well. Do you know what? I'm boiling hot.
My hair's
crazy, so yeah.
Right.
I didn't want to subject you to that. But yeah, I mean, back to the subs there. It's got the guys who are not in the squad, who are injured and stuff.
Yeah.
Firpo, I'm not bothered about. If he stays, fair enough, cool. But I'm not sure it'll happen. Sinisterra, his injury proneness may make sure he stays with us for another season, but I don't know. Depends how his fitness goes over summer.
He'd break in the championship with all them games.
Probably, but it can break for us, not someone else. Right. Tyler Adams, obviously, I'd keep him if we can. I think we should force some of these players to stay, whether they like it or not, anyway. Stuart Dallas, yeah, got to stay. We've got to see him again.
Got to see Stuart again, yeah.
Got to see him again.
So, West Ham didn't exactly feel this weak side that your mate reckoned he heard on a West Ham podcast. Do you think was that a little bit of deception on the part of the West Ham podcast? Because like a majority of the players that he said were probably not going to play. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, when I saw that lineup and saw they'd only made like 5 outfield changes, I just thought, oh, God. There was a guy in the stand who kept saying, oh, it's all right. We just got to keep at them. They'll tire soon. And I was like, well, not really, because all the guys that played the other night, it can sub them. And the other half of the team didn't play, so they're fine. It's just, it's not going to work like that.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't think they were overly impressive, to be fair.
No, I didn't.
Like, there was, it's easy to play against a team that kind of don't play football anymore. Don't know really how to defend. And I can't really score goals at a fucking frequency that we need them. So to play... but that's the thing. Like, you wouldn't have to play awfully well for you to beat us at the moment. Like, so...
No, exactly.
I'm going to live in hope until whatever time we finished on Sunday.
Well, I hope you've got a four-leaf clover to hand.
You what?
I hope you've got a four-leaf clover to hand.
Right, okay.
Take it to bed with you if you have.
Nah, yeah, I'd be all right. Don't worry about it.
Bright's just sent one in for me. Here's one for you, Jay. Who survives, Leeds or the Birds? Well, the Birds are showing more fight at the moment, Mark, so I'm hopeful.
Sound well, fair enough. So we'll probably discuss it more on the main pod, but we kind of touch on it now. Look, we've seen posts on Twitter that Radziani is over in Italy looking to buy. Radziani is over in Italy looking to buy.
All right. Sampdoria. If that's how you're going to pronounce it, okay.
The 49ers are now in England. So it's like, what does this tell you about the state of the club, Jay? Because the football has been gash, and now everyone that's involved in the club is either not in the fucking country or is in the country but not in control of the club. And it's a bit of a fucking shit show, really, isn't it?
Smarty and Luke are just giving you some shit.
That's all right. That's Sarney.
Fuck it. Do you know what it smacks of, Carl? It smacks of rats leaving a sinking ship.
Mm. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Rats.
Yeah. And was he even at the game on Sunday, Rads, was he?
Who knows? I've not seen all about him. I wouldn't have thought so. Does he go to away games ever?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. He won't be able to come to home games anymore next season, so he won't be seeing any football unless he goes to Sampdoria.
Yeah. Yeah, so look, the game itself was a load of absolute shite.
Garbage.
Yeah, I was down at that stadium last season, and the atmosphere is pretty shit. Like, it didn't, even when they went 3-1 up, it didn't really seem anything special.
Their fans didn't say much. They had little bursts now and again, but yeah.
To be fair, they were actually all right when they played us up here, but I guess the only travel away, isn't it?
Mate, if we were in a final for a trophy, even if it's like a tin of fucking paint, our fans would be buzzing, be singing all game for them, especially then to see them winning in front of you. And you're just like, the whole club should be buzzing, everyone should be buzzing. They've stayed up, they've got a European final for a tin pot trophy. They should be happy as Larry. And they're all sat there silent half the time because they're just shines.
I think David Moyes is gone in the summer anyway for them. Like, I think as well as Declan Rice, I think Moyes will go. Because like us, they're in the Premier League, but they'll need a complete overhaul if Rice goes. And I can't imagine there'll be many more.
Yeah, they're going to be in this fight again if they don't make some pretty radical changes, I think.
Yeah. It's the same as us. Like, if we go down, it's a massive reset if we go down, and it needs to be like, when is the first game of the season? They brought it forward early. It's like the 10th of August or something, is it? Is the first game of the season in the Championship. So, yeah.
Who knows? On that subject, Andy Aylor said, do you think Ratsani will be at Elland Road for the last game?
Probably. He'll have no choice, will he?
Oh, mate, his car's going to get blockaded and turned over.
That's entirely on him. Like, maybe don't drive your own car.
They might have to bring him in like a bag or something, in like someone's boot, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You can tell that the game was absolute garbage on Sunday by the fact that we're just talking about absolutely anything but said game. I don't really have a lot to say about the game, to be honest with you. I thought for 25 minutes we were all right. Great finish from Rod. We have a player.
Oh, that was not awesome.
Yeah. We have a player who's not our best winger taking throw-ins, so we found a use for McKennie. I think we need to start Nando in the 10 role on Sunday and just maybe put someone else up front that isn't Bamford, because it's not happening for me. Like, he played all right for Pirates on Sunday, but Jesus Christ, like.
Well, there's going to be no Bamford and no Rodrigo now, is there, by the sounds of it?
Yeah, probably.
I don't know what we do. Do we stick Perkins up there?
What do you like this? You got a fine finish for the under-21s there and their playoff final win. So, was it that was the semi or something, was it? But yeah, I don't see why not. Like,
I don't think there's much else we can do unless he's going to play Nando as a striker, because he's clearly not going to put Rooter on, is he?
No, but the thing is, like, we've we've got kind of players that young players with no fear that will just get the ball down and run at players, but we're not utilizing them in the way that we should be. Like, you know, like even West Ham there the last day, as soon as Bowen got the ball, he was gone. He was just running at us. Running at us. And then when Lanzini came on, he did the same thing. And then Fornals. He was doing the same thing to us, man. You need players who are just literally, like, the last thing a defender wants is to be on the back foot with a player running at them. And if we don't try something new, even for the last game of the season, people are saying we're down already. Well, then if we're down already, change it up. What's the worst that can happen? Just, you know what I mean?
Throw a load of shit at it and see what sticks.
Well, it doesn't seem to be much sticking at the moment, so it's worth a shot. Like,
it can't be any worse, can it?
Yeah.
Like, we're fucked at this point. We just go balls out, do whatever.
Not this balls out, though. Coleslaw and Toast are saying Aronson and Forshaw front two. I love what you're having, Coleslaw and Toast. Thanks, man. Could do that. Could be worse. He scored a dinger against the Scum last season, so why not?
Exactly.
But yeah, I think if we're going to go down, we may as well go down swinging and just put on a load of young ones up front, like the front three of just Willie, Somerville, and maybe Harrison, just absolutely hammering at them, and then put someone else, like, I don't know, anyone else in behind the three of them, and just run at them, get the ball at your feet, and just a license to absolutely bait at them.
This defensive bullshit. Just go for it.
Just hammer at them. There's the ball. You're 19 years of age. You've got an engine on you like a young horse. Off you pop there now. That's just run them ragged. And fuck it. After that, man. You know what? Well, like, you can't say that they didn't give it a go on the last day. Like, we're sitting here now talking about a game where we're like, yeah, we gave it a go for 25 minutes. But if you give the ball to young fellas who love having the football at their feet and tell them to just go out there, you've got nothing to lose. We could win this, and all Everton do is draw and they stay up. Why not just go and absolutely hammer at it? There you go. Yeah. There you go, Co-Santos. Give Xabi a go. Nothing to lose. Why not? Why the hell not?
Give him a game.
Maybe have him in behind the three lads up front and just have some young fellas that are going to absolutely just go, you know what, fuck this, and just go for it.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what we've got to do, isn't it? The shackles have got to be off for that last game, because nothing less than a win will do. And we need to score a few goals as well and just swing that goal difference if we can.
But you can see it.
It's grasping at straws, Carl. It's just...
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, it is.
There's not to be lost, is there now? It's just, we've got to go for it.
It is grass.
Because nothing else will do anything for us.
I may be a bit delusional, like, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, when you look at Spurs, right? Like, I don't know if anyone saw their game on Saturday against Brentford. They were absolutely dog shit.
I didn't watch it.
At any time in Mbeumo or any of them boys just ran at them. Their arse completely fell out. It fell completely out. So we've got options there where we can be like, you know, let's just go balls out here now and get the young fellas on the pitch and get it done. Or we can just sit back and go, right, let's be good for 25 minutes, potentially take the lead, and then just be like, nah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I want to see a bit of fight in this last game. I want to see a bit of adventure. I want to see something that's going to make me go, yeah, you know what, there's a fucking chance. And as long as Everton haven't scored... And as long as the Bournemouth may get a sneaky old goal here and there, there's always a chance.
Do you know what? If we could take the lead while Everton are still at 0-0, that might have an effect on them when word gets round.
Exactly. They have to go for it.
Nervous and, you know, but if they score an early goal, you can write it off. That's it.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, as long as they don't score, if we get a goal, which we, like... 24 games we've lost from winning positions.
Mm.
Who's to say we're not going to go into a winning position one more time and that makes their arse fall out?
Mm.
And that helps us. Like, you know what I mean? You know what it's like standing around and hearing the team that you don't want to score, and you're in that stadium like, oh, man. And that just resonates through the whole stadium, and everyone just gets that, like... And that
knocks the stuffing out of you, doesn't it? Your spirit just gets crushed.
Yeah, but that goes on to the players. Players sense that kind of shit, man. They're not, you know, people think, oh, it's only football. It's like they understand the feeling of the fans, like when there's something at stake, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, knowing all this and knowing what position we're in, I mean, if you were Allardyce, what would you have said to him at half-time in that game? What would you have said to try and get him going?
I'd have made three changes straight away.
Would you?
Yeah,
what would straight you away.
I'd have brought on...
Bearing in mind, Nonto had come on at this point.
I'd have brought on Somerville. I would have brought on potentially... who was it we had on the bench? I'd have brought on Greenwood in a more advanced role, like a number 10 role. I know I've said play Willie in the middle, but you could let him drift and then him and Greenwood could potentially swap in and out. I'd have done that straight away. And then in defence, I'd have probably brought off Strike and gone with probably a back three and brought in someone else then, you know. I can't remember who else on the bench, but I'd have made three changes straight away. Two up top, get on the front foot straight away.
Would you have had Cock drop into defence to have three centre-backs and then...
Potentially, yeah. That's not a bad shout yet. But I definitely would have made the Somerville and Greenwood changes straight away and just put the impetus on getting forward and getting the ball as quickly as possible.
I would have put Somerville on. I mean, what was that about with him and Ayling as well, when they didn't seem to be on the same page at any point? They just kept tripping over each other or leaving ball, arguing. And Ayling, for me, needs to calm it down a bit if he's going to start arguing with players, because he's not been good enough to be criticising anyone.
But the thing is, as well, if he's wearing the armband, he has to get them up and he has to be a bit critical here and there. But that ball, that when you're on a ball, I know the one where he
down
was
on
dribbling
the wing in the corner.
Yeah, he was dribbling and he expected Somerville to take it on when Somerville wasn't even looking at it, and then Ayling kept running on. Yeah.
And then he had a go at him.
Yeah, there was no need for him to have a go at Somerville there at all. Like, but you can understand why he should have, because
frustrated.
Yeah, that's potentially it. Like, you know,
it was just hard to watch. It was just one of them where nothing really seemed to be going right after half time. Like, we couldn't get out of first gear.
Yeah, I thought
it was so frustrating, because that first half we had those good spells. We had that first 25 minutes.
Yeah,
I don't know where it went.
I think we looked more vulnerable when the balls went in behind. They were, because we were pushing on. There was one there where Allardyce was telling Strike to get up the pitch for a corner. Then we left Somerville on the halfway line. And then they broke with three players, I think. And Somerville, fair play to him, got a tackle. And I got to give kudos to Brendan Aronson as well. He absolutely broke his bollocks to get back, and he was within a whisker of making that challenge if Somerville
had to give him
kudos for that. Like, so yeah, look, I think at the back we were quite fragile there in the second half. And I put that down to a lot of trying to get forward quickly, trying to get stuff going, but then once the second goal goes in, it's not so much about trying to get the ball forward. It's more about the heads are down then. The heads are gone. Once that second goal goes in, it's deflated. It's not about us getting caught in the break because we're pushing forward. It's not concentrating at that point. It's not looking at where we're at, where players are, what's going on around us. The concentration levels are pure gone there, because they don't have the confidence in themselves to score more than one, two goals. And once that second one goes in, it seems like they're like, we got beat 5-1 by fucking Crystal Palace. This could happen again.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
they're all mentally destroyed, aren't they?
Yeah. They're mentally broken, I think, at the moment. Like, and it's not like when Luke came out and did that interview after Forest in the Championship where we lost, you know, and you could see that they were nearly mentally broken at that point. Like, you know, and He's done about 7 or 8 of them kind of interviews today or this season, and nothing has changed since, you know, after that. Like, so it's just a little difficult. Like, but do you want to go through a few comments, maybe?
Yeah, I was just going to pull a couple up, actually. Coleslaw just saying, squad doesn't look like a cohesive unit like it used to. Totally agree with that. We do look like individuals. There doesn't look to be any real understanding between players, and I kind of put down the stray pass into that. You know, we see so many stray passes so often this season. We've won a ball back and crowd's cheering because we've got the ball back, and then we just pass it straight to the other team again and we're defending again instantly.
Yeah.
And that can only come down to not being cohesive for me, because there's no way people who've made it to Premier League football level can't pass a ball.
No. The thing is, you were saying there, it's the concentration levels go when the fitness goes.
Mm.
If you're not fit enough physically, then when you start to wane and you start to slow down, that also affects how you're thinking and your reactions and your awareness and stuff like that. So the fitness, like, it has a lot to do with it.
Definitely has a lot to do with it, and
the cohesion of the back line needs to be sorted out, because between the back and the midfield, that it's not going well enough at all for me, really.
No, it's completely disjointed. Skip says, just seems a huge divide between senior and younger players.
Yeah.
What do you think of that? There does seem to be an element of that for me. It's like the old sort of the old hands, like Ailing and stuff. They seem to be getting upset a lot with the younger players.
Well, it's a difficult one, like, because the older players are going through exactly the same as what the younger players are.
Mm-hmm.
But the older players should be handling it a little better than they are.
Mm.
So because they're not, and everyone's in the same boat, but others have experienced it more recent than others. And it's like, it's the likes of Cooper and you know, you see Stuart Dallas on the side of the pitch down at Bournemouth, G'ing everyone up and getting that kind. That's what should be going on with the likes of Ailing. They shouldn't be walking around bitching and moaning at a young footballer because his back was turned and Ailing should have kept carrying the ball.
Yeah.
At that point, you turn around and you say, look, right, let's just get the head in the game. Come on, sort it out. Get going again. Come on.
Yeah,
instead of going, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
That's like, you have a young player who's going through his first proper relegation battle in a game that we need to win.
Yeah.
And all he's doing is fucking him out of it, as opposed to going, right, okay, come on, just think about it. Get the head in the game again. Let's get on the ball and let's start to get it going.
Yeah. So, if you keep hammering him, he's just going to respond negatively, isn't he?
Well, like, yeah, exactly. It's like the comment said there. It's like there is that divide, but they're both going through the same things. It's just one is handling it differently to the other, and the other should be handling it way, way better to help the younger players, the position they're in.
Do you think it's worse for players like Ailing and Cooper and the rest of the guys who were involved with getting promoted, because they can see everything that they worked for going down the pan? I mean, possibly. Those guys busted their bollocks to get promoted.
Yeah, it's possibly
difficult to see this and
possibly,
to be a part of it.
But at the end of the day, it's not like they've just kind of switched off to professional footballer mode.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You've got there, right, fair play to you. Now it's your job to keep us there, you know?
Yeah.
Defensively, we haven't been sound enough. And that kind of goes down to the tactics that we were probably using prior to that.
Mm.
But we weren't even sound, you know, defensively sound under Bielsa. It was just because we had so much of the ball that whenever we did concede, it was very rare that we did sometimes, because we were always on the front foot.
Yeah.
But another thing with that is that we had a consistent back four the whole time in front of a keeper.
Yeah.
Whereas the last year and a bit, it's been all over the shop. Even Rob Price couldn't build a human long enough to last in our team now at the moment. Like,
no, that's it. And he was the miracle man at one point.
What?
He was the miracle man at one point, Rob Price.
Yeah. So look, we've been on for 51 minutes now, Jim. And we've come to the conclusion that as a whole, this needs a total reset. And I think Sunday was the final nail in the coffin that should say, yeah, this is it now. This is what needs to happen. I think we need to start Sunday on fire. And I think start a few young fellas. But again. We were meant to have a West Ham fan on tonight. Well, it was meant to be last night, but we didn't bother. And he's messaged the pod group there, and he's basically just said, "Look, I really hope you do it." Like he said, he's the people want us to stay up. Like the amount of people on the radio that you be hearing, "Oh yeah, it's more like a Premier League with Leeds and now Forest in it," and da da da. And I know that's all good and well. It's sentiment and it's this and that or whatever. But look, I think we need to fucking move on now and try and get something sorted on Sunday and don't make an absolute holy show of ourselves at home on the final day of the season. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Matt there just saying, how on earth can we get to the penultimate game and have fitness issues? Look like we're all running in treacle, so it's poor conditioning.
Yeah,
true. It's true. But
That's down to not having a good training regime.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mark Jones, he's saying, think the Americans have let us down big time as well as Rocco when we needed him. There's just been so many passengers in this team. I don't even think you can just blame it on the Americans. Like, there's so much more going on. There's so much more wrong.
Yeah.
It's crap. It's terrible. And whatever happens Sunday, there's no way that Rads can be the owner of this club going forward. There's just no way.
Yeah, I like. Yeah,
I don't want to go too much onto main and stuff. Do you know what I mean? But
it's I was going to say. Yeah, we do indeed. Yeah, but look, at the end of the day, he can see what's wrong. We can see what's wrong. Well, we've seen what's wrong since the end of last season and the start of this, and it's just like there. Jamie puts in. I was just going to say, it's not good for our health. Like, Jamie's put in this comment here now going, Jay looks older than Carl recently with his run of form.
It's doing me in, mate. It really is. Yeah. It's doing me in.
Leeds United is bad for your health. Can you get stuff on the NHS for that, can you?
I don't think so. You've got to sort your own stuff out with Leeds United.
Yeah, and then that's a main pod issue called on toast. Yeah, we should never
we won't get into that one today.
The most fucking mental move I've ever listened to seen in my life. But anyway,
I mean, listen, we're back tomorrow to discuss all that. So
yeah, exactly. And look, at the end of the day, we were good for 25 minutes. Hopefully that Rod can play and let's just go all out attack. Fuck it, like I'm done with this sitting back and hoping to God we can get them on a long ball over the top. Just hammer at them, see the whites of their eyes and just go for it.
That's it. Can we get Alioski in to stand on touchline, shouting and making noises at him?
Bring you know what? Back
to spray his water bottle at people.
Yeah, that's a conversation I'd like to have on the main pod tomorrow night.
Absolutely.
Jay, our pod mate and friend Luke is
our esteemed colleague.
You're going with that deep, are you? All right, okay.
£31 for his ticket.
Our esteemed colleague Luke is over on the Just Joe Football Show at 10:15. Go and check them out over there. You can see his shiny head, and then then you can see Luke's as well. Jay, we might call it a day there.
Yes, mate, might as well.
A bit of sporadic talking about main pod stuff for a little bit. It was just
all we can do is keep saying how frustrating that shite game was when everything was on the line and no one stepped up. And there's only so much of that you can say.
It's just a little difficult to talk about anything when there's not really much to talk about, is there?
That's it.
Anyway, thanks for joining us, everyone. The lads are on board again on Tuesday. Usual time, 8:30. That's tomorrow.
Same bat channel, same bat station.
Yeah, take care.
Same bat time. Something like that.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you for listening to another Auto Know Better podcast, the Independent League United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @AutoKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke after-match podcasts. We have 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out, though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.